Welcome, everybody, to Tapes and Scales. Max, how you doing?
I'm good. How's your butt?
My butt hurts. It's falling asleep.
My butt hurts.
My butt hurts.
But you know what? We're doing it for them.
I do it for them. I clearly don't do it for me.
No.
There's no redeeming quality to anything I do. It's all for you.
Yeah.
Any way you want it, it's all for you.
I thought you were going to do the Journey thing.
No.
Okay. Good. I don't want to get sued.
No, I don't either. Trying not to make that a thing anymore. Let's go. Why don't you start?
Oh.
Show me what you got.
Okay.
Show me what you got.
1985. Are you excited?
Oh, my God.
All right.
My nipples are hard.
All right. So this is already exciting, right? So not only is it 1985, the runtime of this movie is 1 hour and 37 minutes.
Oh, this must be the ultimate movie.
It's real close.
Yeah?
What if I told you it was John Hughes' The Breakfast Club?
Oh, then I'd hug you.
That's what it is then.
Oh, well, here, bring it in, buddy.
Woo! Real hug. Yeah, real hat. That's real. That happened.
I almost fell out of my stool. Perfect. Physical comedy on podcast. Who says it can't be done?
We just did it.
Boom.
Are you all laughing?
Boom. You can have that bit, Rogan.
So I watched this in June, and it's a comedy drama, and it's one of the many movies I bought on that large Barnes & Noble Criterion sale.
There you go.
Because I had this on a DVD with no special features, so I upgraded to a Blu-ray with a shitload of special features.
Perfect.
Criterion Collection fucking rules. Thanks, Janus Films. This was directed by John Hughes.
Sure was.
It's got Judd Nelson. It's got Ali Sheedy, Molly Ringwald, Anthony Michael Hall, Emilio Estevez. I mean, come on.
There's a ton of people who would go on to do a ton of good movies.
Yeah, this movie is amazing. It's about five high school students who bond while in a Saturday detention.
Yep.
That's what it's about.
It sure is.
My thoughts on this film is, so this movie is really weird in that this movie is super dated.
Sure.
But this movie is also somehow super fucking timeless.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. It's such an honest portrayal of that point in life. Like, even if you're not 80s and you're not a Zuni Maxoid dweeby or whatever, and that's not the way humans talk at any point since then, I'm probably not before then either.
I like it.
Yeah, it's still, there is all five of those characters. There's the brain, the criminal, the, you know, the basket case, the princess, and the jock. They all exist. They're all archetypes. They're all still people in high school today.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable how, despite the fact that it's clearly 80s as fuck, it's still today, I think, a teenager could watch and absolutely feel like they completely are in the detention hall with those characters.
Yeah, it is a great movie for sure.
It's so good. It's so honest. It's just, it's great. You watch all the characters break. You watch them all become better people. You watch them all bond. You watch them all push each other away. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how, again, almost nearly a single room piece, like 12 Angry Men last
time. Seems to be something to that, you know?
Right. It's humans interacting with humans. It's about the human connection to all of it, right?
Like, more movies like that, please.
Yeah. It's just, that's why I think Into the Spider-Verse was so good. Like, it's animation, but it's all these characters coming together and bonding over some kind of shared, you know what I mean, in this case, trauma or, you know what I mean, shared experience. And it's the same in The Breakfast Club. This movie is nearly perfect. Everything about it's great. The comedy lands, the drama lands, the little bit of action they have lands, the dancing lands.
Sure.
I mean, everything happens.
Drama's so good. Drama's very good.
It's just, it's so great. All
the characters that don't really want to talk to each other start talking to each other. It's a really good portrayal.
When Ali Sheedy finally starts to talk.
Yes.
It's so good. And then Molly Ringwald gets mad because she's getting attention. You know what I mean? Especially from like Emilio Estevez's character. Yep. And it's like, oh my God, it's so good.
He's no Charlie Sheen.
Charles Estevez. They build him as that for the Machete sequel.
Did they?
Yeah.
I love that.
And introducing Carlos Estevez.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, real good stuff. But yeah, this movie is phenomenal. It's, if you haven't seen it, please see this movie. Like, I know I'm gushing over a bunch of movies in a row, but
that's fine.
These two movies, for the end of the last and this one, last episode and this one, are just fucking great. What movies from the last one? You gotta go listen to it.
Yeah, go
lazy
back.
Fuck.
God, go back.
So IMDb gave this a 7.9 out of 10.
Sure.
Rotten Tomato critical score, 62 critics, 89%.
Okay.
Yep. Audience gave it a 92%.
I believe that.
Max gives it a 9.5
out of 10. Beautiful.
Yeah. This movie's great.
You, towards the top again.
Yeah.
Invisible Man, you don't have to feel so invisible now.
No.
You can talk to these teenagers about life and things.
He absolutely
stuff
can.
And junk.
Or try to kill him because he's crazy.
Yeah, you could. Depends which, just kill him.
And then there'll be 12 angry men staring back at them being like, why are you guys down there?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, it all ties together.
Oh my gosh.
That chain rash really cleared up well, by the way.
Thank you. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling less puffy.
You are a little less puffy, that's for sure. Well, I'm going to take you to a documentary.
Oh.
I like documentaries, you'll notice. They come up occasionally.
Yeah. One day there's going to be an animated documentary, and you're going to be all over that shit.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know what? I'm looking for one now. There has to be one. It'll probably be about Disney, but that's fine.
Whatever. It's an animated documentary.
Don Bluth, do you have one?
Mm.
We'll find out. I'll look into it.
Yeah.
If you have a recommendation, shoot me an email.
Please.
CapesandScalesPodcast@gmail.com. I realized it might help.
They could tweet at you, too, Matt. _dog_Tim.
That's me. Or the podcast is just at Capes and Scales. So, Bipolar Rock and Roller.
Okay.
Very interesting title.
It is.
This is from 2018. I watched it on, what is that, July 9th, 2019. It's an hour 10 documentary directed by Harris Yusonovic, starring Mauro Ranallo, Floyd Mayweather Jr., and Conor McGregor.
Hmm.
Them some fighty boys. An unflinching account of boxing and combat sports announcer Mauro Ranallo's struggle with bipolar disorder.
Okay.
So if you are only familiar, as I initially was, with Mauro Ranallo, because he is now the commentator on WWE's NXT.
Okay.
He suffers from bipolar disorder. And this is the history of him, and it really shows you his struggle to where I had no idea. Because I follow him on social media, which, again, he's off of it again now because he's had dealings with people being mean to him, and he shuts down. It's really a well-done documentary. This was put out by Showtime. I watched this on their YouTube. They actually had it for free on their actual YouTube, and I watched it there. But I'm sure it's on streaming services as well. Really cool movie showing bipolar disorder, how it affects your life, how he's a grown man, but he can't do certain things if he's emotionally imbalanced. How and they glaze over certain things.
Because right.
Mauro Ranallo, if you don't know him, is one of the sweetest men ever.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure he will be a saint when all is said and done. So Mauro is a super sweet guy, super nice guy, and super interactive with the fans. Just sweet guy.
That's cool.
But he got his start in wrestling and then in combat sports from there. It's a very cool story, but it's so much more than just, where did this announcer guy come from? And I really was surprised by it. And I love that I was surprised. I didn't realize how much it was his disorder was holding him back. I didn't realize to what extent. As an example, with WWE, now he does NXT because it's taped in Florida. It doesn't travel outside of pay-per-views.
Okay.
He would have such anxiety traveling with SmackDown for WWE that he would just come unglued, and like the slightest thing would really bother him.
Huh.
And he could not control his sadness, his anger, whatever emotion it was. And he is a sweetheart of a man, and I love him even more after watching this.
That's great.
My bullet points, which I may have talked about already, shows the darker side of mental disorders while showing how loving Mauro is. It's a must-watch for anyone suffering from any mental health disorder. And I love Mauro is my last bullet point.
There you go.
IMDb gave this a 7.7. Rotten Tomatoes, I could not find the page either way for it. I gave it an 8.0.
Nice.
8.0 out of 10. Super good documentary.
Super high rating for Tim.
It's a high rating. I don't know how they could have made it a little better. I mean, it just, there's little ways I guess they could have, but it's super solid. And tell Mauro you love him because he's great.
That's great.
Yeah.
I like all the positivity.
Sometimes I'm positive because sometimes, holy crap.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to keep the positivity train rolling.
Oh, I like that.
1980.
Okay, that's not quite 85, but let's do it.
Dress to Kill.
Oh, nice.
So I watched this in June. It is 1 hour and 46 minutes. It is a mystery thriller directed by another director I'm trying to get through the work of, Brian De Palma. And it's got My Cocaine,
My cocaine.
Nancy Allen, Keith Gordon. The summary of this movie is a little long and blustery, but I'll work us through it. Cheating housewife is brutally murdered in front of a prostitute, and then it becomes, for some reason, up to that prostitute and the victim's son to unravel the strange details of her murder. But the killer has a strange means of hiding their identity, and even stranger motivation for the killings. Did you ever see this movie?
Will they bake a pie?
You don't know.
I'm pretty sure I've seen this movie, but it is not really coming back to me good enough.
It's a weird flick. My thoughts on the movie are a little bit more about my thoughts on De Palma as a filmmaker.
Okay.
So I think Brian De Palma is kind of, I'm going to call him the Hitchcock of schlock.
Okay.
He makes some real sketchy movies, like, sure, and handled by legitimately almost anyone else, they would be garbage.
Huh.
But because he brings such a strong filmmaking ability to these films, they're like beloved classics. So I'm going to spoil the fuck out of this movie.
Sure.
For a second to help you kind of
skip ahead like 5 minutes if you don't.
If you want to watch Dressed to Kill, skip this. But here it comes. Right now. So this movie is essentially about, you think it's got a very Hitchcockian vibe to this one, because you're with the woman who gets murdered for about 20 minutes of the movie, and she's having like an extramarital affair, and she's just starting to court this other person, and then she gets murdered, and you kind of go through and you see like there's a murderous woman who's out killing people, and you're not really sure what's going on, and Nancy Allen plays this prostitute who watches the woman get killed, then she gets involved, she gets attacked by the woman, and she like barely escapes, and the woman's son is kind of teamed up with her, and you find out that it's actually the woman's therapist, who's played by Michael Caine, who cross-dresses as a woman and like almost thinks he's a woman and a man, speaking of like psychological disorders, and he's like pretty off the chain, and there's a point at the end where he escapes from a mental institution and tries to kill Nancy Allen. It's pretty like why it sounds like wild bullshit.
Sure.
And it would not be a movie that is iconic unless it was directed by somebody like Brian De Palma, who just has such a good filmmaking ability and can elevate the material far beyond this kind of pulpy garbage that he tends to make. I mean, like, Carrie is a fine book, but at the end of the day, it's just a horror movie. You know what I mean? It's like Phantom of the Paradise, which is a really out there fucking movie, Dressed to Kill. It's like, I mean, Scarface is even pretty trashy.
It can be, for sure.
Like, it's got a lot of filth and scum in it, but he's just such a good filmmaker that it's like he took that crap and he just makes it really good. Same way Scorsese does it with a lot of the crime movies, where these are fucking just nasty bastards.
Very nasty.
And Coppola did it with the Godfather movie, the first two Godfathers anyway, and it's...
You don't like three?
That's not as good as the first two.
It sure isn't. Way down.
But it's really impressive to see somebody, and I think De Palma even takes it further and weirder areas than the other guys do, and less like traditional crime and more like pulp and schlock, and it's almost like an Italian style and approach to it, but he takes those really weird black leather glove killer movies and makes them really good.
I just would love to hear his pitch to Michael Caine.
Yeah.
About what all the things he'd have to do for this movie.
Yeah, I'm sure that's why he took the role, because at that point he was kind of a powerhouse. Like, right, everybody wanted him and stuff. He was younger, good-looking dude. He had, right, like, a hell of a good range and was a super talented actor. And this point was, like, one of the high points of his career before he kind of went off the rails.
Right.
And then got re-picked up later on by Chris Nolan.
Yeah, for sure.
IMDb gives us a 7.1 out of 10, so we're still rolling pretty high on the IMDb train.
That's so unusual.
Rotten Tomatoes critical score, 47 critics gave it an 83%. Audience gave it a 74%, and I guess, slightly high on this, but in the realm, I'm at a 7.5 on this one.
Nice.
Which I wrote a percent sign next to because I'm still crazy.
Well, I can appreciate that, buddy.
Thanks.
You ain't crazy to me.
Or you're crazy and that's why you're here.
Oh, am I even here?
Whoa.
Whoa. The final movie of today's podcast will be played by JCVD.
Oh my gosh.
Also known as Van Damage.
Oh, this movie's so good.
2008, JCVD. I watched it July 12th of 2019, which would have been last year. It is 1 hour 37 minutes.
Boom.
Boom.
Right in there.
Comedy crime drama directed by Mabrouk El Meshihihiri.
That's a rough one.
Yeah, it is. Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme, Valerie Bodson, Herve Sogne. I'm going to guess.
Sure.
Jean-Claude Van Damme gets involved in a bank robbery with hostage situations and reflects about his life during it.
Oh, man.
I have a feeling I rank this too low for you, though.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I hold this movie in pretty high esteem.
Oh, boy. Well, crap.
It's not a perfect movie by any stretch.
Black Dynamite Part 2. All right. It's a weird idea, but it does work.
Mm-hmm.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme looks great, but I kind of felt like everybody else was kind of like, meh, left me wanting more.
Okay.
Such a weird idea. He kind of flukes into being into this bank while a robbery is happening. Everybody seems to think he's involved, and the weird celebrity, because he's playing himself, and yep. Normally that's like a red flag. Like, what is this garbage? It's super charming. He looks great. He comes out looking like $1 million, and it's kind of him not taking himself too seriously.
No.
His motivation is trying to take care of some financial issues because he's dealing with a divorce and possibly losing his daughter.
That's brutal.
It's very brutal. It has, I mean, his movies are on display for the judge and for the court. Like, yeah. You do this crap, like,
oh yeah, it's rough.
So he's very self-deprecating in this, really makes it work.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like everybody else is just a little meh.
Some of them are like, yeah, some of the acting's not stellar. I really feel like it's just his struggle that really pushes the movie. Like, he's in such a bad place, yep. And he knows it, and he's like trying to, like, even just the way he, like, this is some of the most acting we've seen him do.
Right.
And it's hilarious because he's playing himself, and it's some of the best performance he gives.
Yeah.
When he's trying to balance, like, still trying to be nice to people, like, hey, hi, I'm Jean-Claude Van Damme, and then he's, like, just miserable, and it's like his head is, like, his guts ripped out. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, it's harsh.
He's like, yeah, we can do a photo, just let me go do this.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's such a hard movie to describe to someone who doesn't know anything about it.
Totally very bizarre, because there's like the comedy stuff of like the guys who were doing the bank robbery making him like do roundhouse kicks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And everything. Like, it's, and again, it's just, it further makes him just look like a puppet on display. Like, do the thing you do. And it's just like, ah, and you can tell by the look on his face. He's like, oh my God. And it's like, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to save everybody? And the expectation is he should, because he's Jean-Claude Van Damme. And it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I think the movie plays out well.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I mean, an hour 37 is the ideal time, so I can't say that it's slow and plodding. I just think it's a little meh. Everyone but him. I think it's a great performance by him.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to the numbers. IMDb also gives this a 7.1.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 108 critics give it 84%.
Okay.
Audience, 22,000 people give it 74%, mm-hmm. but I'm a little under all of them.
Okay.
I gave it a 6.5.
Okay. I'd probably give it like a 7 or a 7.5.
All right. So we're not too angry. This isn't Black Dynamite all over.
No. I think it's good, and I think you nailed it. It's all him.
It's all him. Everybody else, while some of them have moments, it's just overall, it's a little rough. It's like, when's he coming back on my screen? Because that's what's important.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he kills it, so.
There you go.
Well, thank you, everybody. Make sure you check us out on iTunes. Rate and review.
Yes, do that.
Please Apple do Podcast. That.
Fucking do that so we can get on Rotten Tomatoes and fix this stuff.
I know it's hard. Just do it, please. It would make me so happy. I know I don't owe you. I would owe you something then. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
I'll figure it out, but I'll owe you something.
Whoa.
Something spectacular.